You are listening to the Rob Scott Podcast, your source for Rob's take on current events. Let's begin the show.
Morning, Mr. President.
What do we got?
Three retaliatory strike scenarios.
When are they operational?
At the president's command.
No prep time.
We're there.
All three scenarios are comprehensive, meet the obligations of proportional response, and pose minimum risk to American personnel and assets. Scenario one, or Pericles one, to use its code name, sir.
What is the virtue of a proportional response?
I'm sorry?
What is the virtue of a proportional response? Why is it good? They hit an airplane, so we hit a transmitter, right? That's a proportional response.
Sir, in the case of Pericles...
They hit a barracks, we hit two transmitters.
That's roughly it, yes, sir.
This is what we do. I mean, this is what we do.
Yes, sir, it's what we do. It's what we've always done.
Well, if it's what we do, if it's what we've always done, don't they know we're going to do it?
Sir, if you... Turn your attention to Pericles 1.
I have turned my attention to Pericles 1. It's two ammo dumps, an abandoned railroad bridge, and a Syrian intelligence agency.
Those are four highly rated targets, sir.
But they know we're going to do that. They know we're going to do that. Those areas have been abandoned for 3 days now. We know that from the satellite, right? We have the intelligence.
Sir.
They did that, so we did this. It's the cost of doing business. It's been factored in, right?
Mr. President.
Am I right, or am I missing something here?
No, sir. You're right, sir.
Then I ask again, what is the virtue of a proportional response?
It isn't virtuous, Mr. President. It's all there is, sir.
It is not all there is.
Sir, Admiral Fitzwallace...
Excuse me, Leo. Pardon me, Mr. President. Just what else is there?
The disproportional response. Let the word ring forth from this time and this place, gentlemen. You kill an American, any American, we don't come back with a proportional response. We come back with total disaster.
Mr. President, are you suggesting we carpet bomb Damascus?
I am suggesting, General, that you and Admiral Fitzwallace and Secretary Hutchison and the rest of the national security team take the next 60 minutes and put together an American response scenario that doesn't make me think we are just docking somebody's damn allowance.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. This is episode 125. I'm Rob Scott. This is my podcast. And this has been an interesting couple of weeks, I have to say. Actually, the month of November was very interesting with all the, October and November, with all of the international and foreign upheaval that we've had with Israel and Hamas and Palestine. It's incredible to me that we have the situation that we have in this country. I played this clip from Bartlett, who was in the West Wing a few years ago. The show was on a few years ago. And I agree with him on what he is talking about. I didn't really agree too much with, you know, his ideologies when I watched the show. And I did watch the show. But I do agree with this, that you gotta explain to me what the virtues of proportional response is. Because we don't do that today. What is proportional response? Proportional response, what is it? Tit for tat, eye for an eye, tooth for tooth. What is it? How do you respond to a group of people who just out of the blue come up and, they have this hatred from, 200 years ago, 1,000 years ago, and they have this continued hatred that they never kind of get over. You know, that's the whole idea behind your feelings and things. You're supposed to kind of like work through those things and get over, but they never seem to get over it. They always seem to care about what happened in the past, if there's anything really happened in the past. I'm not really sure. I look at history and I've studied it, and I just don't see where they're coming from, why they would, break a ceasefire and then go and kill 1,200, 1,300 innocent Jewish people, take some of those captive, hold them in captivity as hostages. I don't know why a group of people would come in and just blatantly just kill people and then brag about killing Jews and murdering and raping and murdering them while they're raping them and cutting the heads off children, throwing babies in ovens. What is a proportional response to that? Is Israel now allowed to, because it's proportional, they're allowed to go do the same thing? They're allowed to go treat Hamas and treat Palestinians who support Hamas in the same manner? Is that proportional? Nobody answers that question. You're not going to get anything from the administration because the administration just wants everybody, they want Israel to sit there and just take it and not respond to it. And one voice, they're saying Israel has has the right to be able to defend itself. And then the other one, they say, you can't. You need to have the ceasefire. You can't do that. So it allows Hamas to be able to regroup and to reorganize. And then this week you find in the news again we have these Hamas bombers going and they went in and killed like three or four more Israelis, more Jewish people, simply because they just hate Jews. That's what it comes down to. I look at the history and Hamas and all these Palestinians, they hate the Jewish people. That's what it comes down to. They just hate them. They don't want them to exist. They don't want them to breathe. So they'll do everything that they can to make sure that's the case, and they're going to kill as many of them as they can. But the response from the West here is you're not supposed to be able to defend yourself. And if you're going to defend yourself, you need this proportional response to stuff. It's like what's his name, Michael Douglas from The American President, when I can't remember who bombed CSAT or whatever what it was. They're in an Oval Office and they're sitting there talking about proportional responses, and the president says somebody's going to have to give me a definition, explain to me what a proportional response is, because nobody knows what it is. And when we talk about proportional response, going back to Bartlett at the beginning of the podcast, they already know what our response is going to be. They already, and they know the pressure that the West and other governments are going to put on Israel to respond in a certain way, and they know that. They already know it. I mean, you kill 1,200, 1,300 people, you're not allowed to try to take out Hamas because they use civilians to protect themselves. So you got to do all this stuff. You got to send out leaflets. You got to send out text messages. Get out of this area. We're going to bomb this particular building because of this. And they give them ample time and ample information. Okay. By the way, Hamas didn't afford the Jewish people the same kind of warning that this is going to happen. But it's okay for them not to do it. But the Jewish state has to jump through hoops in order to protect themselves. And I agree with what Bartlett says in that clip. You know, we need to stop doing this. We need to, the proportional response doesn't work. It doesn't really do anything to solve an issue. What you need is a disproportional response. Now, I'm not saying that Israel goes out and wipes out, Palestine and wipes out all of Gaza, just blanket, carpet bombs all of Gaza. I'm not saying that. And they would never do that. They would never do that. The army and Israel would never do that as a people. They would never do that. And it's pretty evident in what the hoops that they have jumped through in order to protect themselves and to fight back from these people that just literally hate them. But a disproportional response is, you killed 1,200 or 1,300 people. We are going to eliminate Hamas. And we are going to send a message to you that you don't do this to Israel. And I think really in over the years, we have lost that. We have completely lost the ability to be the strength of the West. And that's because of our poor leadership. Started with Obama. Trump was a little bit of a... Well, Trump was a fresh breath of air for a little while, for 4 years. All the naysayers and all the haters out there, sitting there saying that Trump had his fingers on the bomb. He was going to be worse for democracy. Blah 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 blah. He's going to start a war. Blah blah blah. Which none of it turned out to be true. What turned out to be true is Trump was a person of peace. He was a person of strength. He was a person that you didn't mess around with. People that couldn't read him, which is an excellent, personality trait that you should have as a president. I don't want the leaders of China. I don't want Iran. I don't want these people to know what I'm going to do. I don't want to broadcast it. you know, of what I'm going to do. I want the idea of disproportionality in response. They don't know what's going to happen, so it deters them from doing the thing that they want to do because they don't know how America and how the President of the United States is going to respond. That is a good thing. Today, what we have is a president who doesn't have any balls. He is a person that is driven specifically and with the ideology of I want to be liked. And he works to make sure that everybody likes him, from Iran to everybody. China, it doesn't matter who it is, he wants them to like him, and that's the driving force behind President Biden. And that is going to be, and it has been, in effect, the failure that this man has done. He has no spine whatsoever. And he'll continue to act this way because he has people around him that are feeding him information. And I, to tell you the truth, I don't think Biden's ever had a spine the whole time he's ever been in office. He never has. And that comes from Obama. That comes from being, you know, vice president to Obama, who was another coward. And it needs to change. There's a shift that needs to take place in America, and our strength in America. If the world doesn't have a strong United States of America, then this world is going to be in turmoil. Which you have to be honest with yourself. You're seeing that in the world today more than you've ever seen it, and that's just in the last 2.5 years, because of the administration's policies in the world, and we're going to continue to see it, which makes it a more unsafe in this country. And that raises the question, how much more are we as a country and as citizens going to take? How much more, how bad does it have to get in order for us to really start to wake up? I really believe that we're starting to see things. I'm uplifted with the fact that I kind of see things from here, from different posts and newscasts and people who are willing to actually talk about the truth and give information that's factual. And we're starting to see how a lot of these lies that we've been told over the last couple of years, about January 6th, I don't support what a lot of those people did. And if they broke the law, they should be prosecuted and thrown in jail, as far as I'm concerned. But there's a lot that weren't. And now we're starting to see things come out with January 6th that's been hidden from us as a country. And we weren't able to see because the Democrats didn't want us to see these things. And we're starting slowly again to see the truth, just like we saw, just like the truth of COVID's come out, just like we're seeing the truth of this transgender movement, DEI, how it's actually destroying things. It's destroying corporations. It's destroying profitability instead of building profitability or building. I don't even know what they're trying to build with the diversity, equity, and inclusion. I have no idea. It's just beyond me what that is supposed to do to help bring about the success of a business so people can invest and make money and, maybe retire someday, have a little nest egg that you can live on. The companies today, they don't give a shit about that stuff. They don't care. They care about, equity, and as long as it's equity, I'm making the money that I want to make, and the rest of you can go fuck yourselves. Basically, that's what it's about, and it's just, and we're starting to see the effects of this. Women's sports is the same thing. Let a man go and compete against a woman's sports, right? Let him compete in swimming, bicycling, weightlifting, wrestling, basketball, whatever, because they're women, because they say that they're women. And usually they're men who are subpar athletes, and these subpar athletes are stronger and more equipped to succeed than the women that they're competing against. So, and you're starting to see this across the board in sports and anything that's dealing with women, pageants and everything else. It's ridiculous. And but we're starting to see and a little bit of a pushback against these men who are pretending to be women, who have some other kind of psychological issues that they need to deal with, and they don't need to be taking bringing those psychological issues and problems into the women's sports. And I've often said this: if you want to solve the issue, it's a disproportional way that I think you need to react to these things. Proportional, these transgenders and these people know exactly how you're going to respond because they have set the table and you're supposed to respond in a certain way. But if you respond disproportionately, they don't know what to do. And now we're starting to see a disproportional response to some of these situations. And I've always said, if women don't want men competing with them in their sports, and I don't care what it is, I don't care if it's swimming, I don't care if it's billiards, pool, I don't care. If you don't compete when there is a transgender or if there's a man who is pretending to be a woman, and if you just don't compete, then they won't have anybody to compete against. And you send a message to the colleges, you send a message to the professional associations, you send a message that if you allow this, then we will not compete as females. Now, I know that's a difficult thing to do. Believe me, I'm not a female. I haven't put in the time and the effort of the Riley Gaineses of this world and all these people who have put in all this time. But that, to me, is even more of a reason and more of a response that you need to take and to be very aggressive in your response. It's short-term pain for long-term gain. Okay, I think what you'll find is that you will find that the ears of those people that you really want them to hear, the ears be opened, they are going to start listening if you just don't compete. So what I'm saying is, if you're competing in bicycling and in a women's bicycling race, and a man shows up to race against women, then the women just need to say, I'm not racing today. I am not going to do this. If you're swimming, you need to do the same thing. You need to say, I'm not going to do this. Because this is not correct. It's not right. And you need to correct your thinking on this. You need to stop this because it's ridiculous. And if you do that long enough, and I don't, to tell you the truth, I just don't think it would take a whole lot to act disproportionately in some of these responses that you have and that we have. Look at Bud Light. Okay, look at Target. Look at Disney. People are rebelling against this DEI, this transgender movement. Men can be women anytime that they want. And they can take the spaces of women, take away all the work and effort and professionalism of women, and just take it away in a flash of a pan, you know. And you're starting to see this. Like I said, Budweiser. I mean, it's still flailing, and I don't know if it'll ever recover, because people have moved on. They've tried other beers, and they say, hey, you know, this beer tastes better than Bud Light tasted on its best day. So why go back? I'm buying a beer, it doesn't matter if I'm doing Bud Light, I don't care. Target's the same way, losing hundreds of, you know, like billions of dollars in assets and value. Disney continues, one after another, continuing to put out movies and people are canceling their Disney Plus subscriptions because they just don't believe what Disney is doing. And they're going to continue to do this, and Disney's going to continue to fail. I hate to tell you that, Bob, but they will, and you need to change it. You need to get off this road, and we need to apply the same kind of principles to the women's sports. Just don't compete. Send a message that this isn't going to happen anymore. That we don't want to live in a world of a bunch of lies, and you're talking about misdirection and misinformation and disinformation. My God, give me a break. You really have to think about this stuff. You really do. You know, if you listen to the news this week, you know, Elon Musk was, I got the clip, I'll play that for you. But he was in an interview with a gentleman, and he was asking, you know, his response to a tweet that Elon agreed with, and he wasn't specific enough in that agreement. And then the media again basically turned on him, and then you have Media Matters, you know, manipulating their algorithms and manipulating the system in order to put out a false narrative, disinformation, misinformation about Twitter, how it's supporting anti-Semitism and Nazi kind of propaganda for advertisers. So what do you have? You have these morons at IBM and Disney and all these companies who are, you know, quote-unquote pause their advertising. For what reason? For what reason? Now it's coming out that Media Matters did that on purpose. They manipulated the data. They manipulated the algorithms to get the results that they wanted to get so they could sit there and go after Elon Musk. And again, Elon is to me, he's practicing the same thing that Bartlett was talking about in my opening statement, in my opening audio, about you got to act disproportionately. And Elon said, listen, I agree that I responded I gave ammunition to people that hate me. But I did go back and clarify what I meant. And of course the IBMs and the Disneys and all the people, you know, all the anti Elon Musk people out there don't believe him. Of course they won't believe him. Because they want to believe the lie that Media Matters put out there, the lie that the media is putting out there that Elon is a anti-Semite or something like that. So they want to believe that stuff. So they do nothing to make any kind of reparations for that. They do nothing to fix it. So Elon says, well, you know, basically, and this is a great response to me. He says, I don't want you. Stop advertising with me. If you're going to sit there and try to, you know, hold me hostage, try to, you know, with advertising or with dollars, go screw yourself. He was a little bit more blatant than that, and I'll play it here in a minute. But he was, he said, screw yourself. Let me make it more clear to you. F yourself. Hi, Bob. I'm glad you're watching. He's talking specifically to Walt Disney, or to Disney, Bob Iger. And you know what? That's the kind of response you need to have today. Stop trying to argue with these people. Stop trying to reason, because they don't have any ability to reason with them. They are followers. They are a bunch of sheep that are just following people that have put bad thoughts into their minds. These educated, supposed to be elite students of these MITs and these Harvards and everything are going out and supporting Hamas and supporting Palestine over Israel for just the deadly and just the grotesque grotesque actions that they took towards Israel, and they actually support this stuff. They've been brainwashed by our universities and our upper and higher education, by people who hate Israel, who are anti-Israel. And then you get these group of people that are coming out in support of them. It's all kind of like all pushed together. It's all the same kind of thing. And Elon's response was absolutely perfect. Let me play it for you.
What was that trip like? And obviously, you know that there's a public perception that, and you're clarifying this now, but there's a public perception that was part of a apology tour, if you will. This had been said online. There was all of the criticism. There was advertisers leaving. We talked to Bob Iger today.
I hope
today.
They stop.
You hope?
Don't advertise.
You don't want them to advertise?
No.
What do you mean?
If somebody's going to try to blackmail me with advertising, blackmail me with money, go f*** yourself.
But...
go f*** yourself. Is that clear? I hope it is. Hey, Bob.
You know, people watch this and they kind of like laugh and things like that. It is hysterical, to tell you the truth, to listen to him. But he's exactly right in what he is saying. Is that, what are you doing? You know, you don't allow a person to clarify himself. You just pull your advertising without any kind of clarification. You run to this DEI, I'm a Nazi, and you know I'm not a Nazi, I'm an anti-Semite, you know I'm not an anti-Semite, you know Twitter is an anti-Semite, it's just a free speech, it's an open forum now where it wasn't before, and you're going to take your advertising, and you're going to try to blackmail me, and I don't want your advertising, because you're sick people, you're misguided. And, the way that these businesses are running, and running their corporations and running their business is showing what is taking place in the directions that they're going. Disney is a perfect example of that. They're losing money hand over fist. Their advertisers, but their investors are, pulling their money and going elsewhere. They're losing value. They can't produce a good movie to save their lives because they've embraced this diversion and equity crap, and it's not going to go anywhere. They've lost their mission, their mission statement. They've lost the vision. Iger was supposed to come back and kind of restore that, but he's just done nothing. In my belief, has done nothing to correct the issue. Anheuser-Busch and Bud Light. All you have to do, you guys, is just apologize that you made a critical error in your advertising. You misjudged the people that support your beer. You didn't understand. You got away from your core foundational people, and you thought that trying this DEI stuff is going to work. And you completely and utterly just miscalculated. And instead, you sit there and try to, hey, we're this, and our new advertising marketing is, we're going to work on bringing back, you're just dumb people. You're smart, dumb people. And it shows me you don't really understand your market in the first place. Because if you did, you would sit there and say, the hell with this, I'm not going to do that. Listen, if transgenders and gay people want to drink Bud Light, then that we'll sell Bud Light. We're not going to not sell Bud Light to a transgender person or a gay person or a lesbian or whatever. But you're going to embrace this ideology and expect people to accept it? No way. Target, people aren't going to accept having transgender and tuck-friendly bathing suits shoved in their face when they walk through the door of Target. They're just not going to do that, right? They're just not going to do it. Elon Musk is going to tell you to go screw yourself if that's what you're going to try to blackmail him and tell him for money that I need to do this and that I'm an anti-Semite or something like that. These are all good, and that's why I started my podcast with that clip from Bartlett, because it is. You're seeing more and more disproportional responses to these people, and I really believe that that's what we really kind of need to do, because the expectation they know, because of fear tactics and hate tactics of what we've experienced over the last 2.5 years, everybody's walking around on pins and needles. You don't know what to call somebody. You look at him, you think he's a man, and he's pretending to be a woman, and you get sued, you get your job, you lose your, so everybody's walking around in all kinds of fear. Gene Simmons is now part of this quiet majority, not majority, but quiet group of people who are leaving Twitter. I said, I could care less. I don't know what you want. You want an open forum of people that have different ideas and are able to talk about them, or do you want to be like a Rob Reiner and just be so blinded and being so stupid in your comments that you think that you have the right to sit there and tell somebody else how to think and how to believe, and you're so scared of this medium that you say, oh, I'm going to go off at, well, who are you going to talk to anyway? Who are you going to go? You going to go to Facebook? Well, you know what? Go to Facebook, and what, 90% of them are, you know, are baby boomers. Maybe that's who you are because you're a baby boomer. You know, maybe that's who you should go to. And you know what? You're going to get feedback. You're going to get pushback from them because most of those people are conservatives. And I don't know what, I don't even know what, Gene, I don't even know what your political, I don't need what your political stance is in the first place. But what I don't understand is why you would want to leave a medium that allows you to have free speech and allows other people to have free speech. And you have, oh my God, we have communication. We have debate. Oh, that's something that's absolutely, we can't have in this world today. Oh my God, the world's going to come to an end because we have a debate on what's, you know, maybe facts and non-facts, or we come to some kind of middle ground on beliefs. What is wrong with that? Have you completely lost your minds? No, what you've done, you've listened to the media, you've listened to the President of the United States, you've listened to this, you listened to this administration telling you that X is bad. And anybody that has any kind of ideas beyond what we tell you is true or false, you're a bad person. To tell you the truth, I'm sick and tired of living in a society where it's based on fear. It's based on hate. It's based on division. Aren't you tired of this? Isn't it bad enough now? Is it bad enough to change? Is it something that you say, I can't take this anymore? And I'm going to start speaking out. I'm going to start doing it. You got people who are doing this. When is the normal citizen going to start realizing that I have power? I'm the one that has the power. These elites don't really have the power. They have the loud voices. They have the media. They have the corporations. Okay, but they don't have the, they don't make the dollar. I have the dollar. I'm the one that goes out and spends my money at Barnes & Noble or Target or something like that. I'm the one that goes out and buys, you know, Bud Light, and I have a choice of whether to drink Bud Light or not, or to go to Target and buy a Tuck Friendly. I have the power. These corporations are nothing but businesses that provide a service or a product. They don't have power. And I don't understand why we listen to them. Why do we listen to them? The government is run by the taxes that we give them. They do not have the power. We have the power. And the problem is that we aren't speaking up, and we are afraid. We are scared. We see these protests in these different cities, you know, of these Hamas lovers going out and protesting, and we get all scared. We go, well, how can somebody support somebody who goes out and puts babies in ovens? But we don't say anything because we're scared, and that's what they want. They want you to be scared. Well, you know what? In Atlanta, I guess it was Atlanta, I saw a report and saw some video of, actually, I think the mayor and the police department and the police force there basically set up a barrier because they had this Hamas protest. I guess it was a Hamas protest that was going to go shut down the interstate there, and they blocked him from going there. That is the kind of response. That's the kind of disproportional response you need to have to these people. Go home. You're not going to do that in this town. You're not going to do that in this city. You're not going to do that in this corporation. You'll be respected more if you do that. But we still have these people that believe that, you know, fear and fear-mongering and hate and division is the way that you're supposed to do things. You keep people under wraps. You keep the lid on people. Well, you're not going to do that for very long because people are not that way. Especially in the United States of America, where we have our liberties, we have our God-given rights to speak and talk and do whatever we want, to own property, to protect ourselves, to have free speech. We have something in this country that we are giving up that we shouldn't be giving up. And we give it up by being silent. We can't be silent in this stuff anymore. You need to act disproportionately. Not mean, not, you know, evil or something like that, like the other side likes does, and they pretend that they're being good and they're being wholesome, but really what they're pushing is evil actions and designs, okay, to control you. You need to act disproportionately to them. And sometimes, you know, saying a good, you know, saying F you is sometimes a response that you need to give. Because it sends a clear message that we're not going to take this anymore. Hey, thanks for listening and appreciate it. I hope you have a good week. I know I'm going to, my family's in town, my daughters and their families are in town, and I get to see them. They're in from Oklahoma. I get to go play with my granddaughters, my three granddaughters, so I'm excited about that. It's a busy season. I'm working some extra hours, so I've been kind of a little erratic as far as when I'm getting these posts out, but you know, when you're going in at 7 o'clock in the morning, you don't get home till 8 or 9. I'm busted tired, and sometimes I barely don't have enough time to eat. Maybe take a shower and go to bed. So I kind of put this on the back burner, and I shouldn't, but I do. But I do appreciate you listening to me. Please share it with your friends. Give me 5 stars on whatever platform you're using. I really do it. It really helps me and to build my audience. And, you know, that's what we're all trying to do is we're trying to build our audiences. So, hey, have a good week. Thanks for listening.